And I've got a lot of civil rights related news today. Of course, the UNC Board of Governors Educational Planning and Policy Committee voting in favor of that proposal that would effectively gut the UNC Center for Civil Rights. We've also got a court ruling from yesterday from that three-judge panel setting September 1st as the deadline for new district lines from the General Assembly. No special election, though, according to this panel, so we'll have November 2018 as our first chance to vote with the new map. To talk about that and more, we've got Anna Richards here in the studio from the Chapel Hill Carrboro NAACP. How are you?
Doing great.
So let's start with the Center for Civil Rights, because I know that's on a lot of people's minds right now. What are your thoughts?
In a way, not a surprise. I think the sentiments of the Board of Governors had been telegraphed pretty well, but disappointing. And the vote was overwhelming, 5-1 with one abstention. And what happens, this is actually a committee vote. And so there is still time for folks who disagree with the way the Board of Governors is headed to express those thoughts. Final vote scheduled for September. So we have a little time yet. And I would just encourage people that if you are concerned about the ruling, or if you think that it is not a good path for the University of North Carolina, to look out for ways that they can certainly write Board of Governors, they can write the chancellor, they can write letters to the editor. But I would just encourage folks to let their voices be heard. Unfortunately, I think the damage is going to be done to the law school. A number of law professors and folks who rate law schools came out recently a few weeks ago and talked about how this overall damages the learning experience at the university, and it's going to impact the rating of the school. So there are consequences to this, and I would just encourage everyone, if you know, either way, let your voice be heard. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a lot of folks in the community, the broader community, the legal community, as well as in the civil rights community, who feel that this is another step backwards for North Carolina.
And you mentioned, and this is a really good time to reiterate, that the final decision isn't going to be made until, like you said, September. So if you're listening out there and you want to weigh in and you haven't yet, again, either direction, you can still email the UNC Board of Governors, because that full board is going to be meeting next month to vote. And there's a catch-all email address, which is public@bog.northcarolina.edu. If you send an email to that address, it goes to every single one of the members of the UNC Board of Governors, so you can still weigh in. But sort of thinking about this issue, and we were talking with Blake Hodge about it earlier today, because he was at the meeting too, and he had mentioned that, you know, some of the board members were concerned that, you know, this county or this municipality kept coming to them and saying, why is UNC suing us? Why is UNC filing a lawsuit against us? And that really, I think, underscores a point that isn't getting mentioned, because we talk about this in the context of this particular center and the work that it does and its effect on UNC and the law school and the students there and all of that. But I think what's underlying all of this and what's pushing this proposal forward in the first place is that there are a lot of municipalities in North Carolina that are still doing the kinds of things that trigger civil rights lawsuits in the first place,
the
right?
First
if they didn't
place.
Do that,
yes,
then
yes.
there would be an issue.
And moreover, parts of the government in all states sue other parts of the government all the time.
Right.
So to pick out civil rights litigation as somehow egregious beyond the pale is really an exaggeration and really thin cover for the motivation. You know, the legislature sues the governor sues the legislature, committees sue each other, departments
sue
each
other. The governor and the legislature have like 12 different lawsuits
I
going on
that's
against
going
each
on
other
right
at this point.
Now.
Yeah.
To say why is this entity of the state suing my little municipality? It's really pretty bogus.
Yeah, and that says a lot about the municipality, I think, more than the other entity of the state.
Exactly.
I always teach American government, do this lesson with the Constitution every single time, where the Constitution is ink on paper. It doesn't have any power of its own. It can't defend itself. Its power comes from us, we the people, actually caring about it and agreeing to abide by it. So, and Blake mentioned Halifax County last hour, so I keep picking on Halifax County, but it's any county or any municipality. If Halifax County doesn't want a civil rights lawsuit, then the people in charge in Halifax County should actually care about the 14th Amendment, first and foremost.
Exactly. Which I think, you know, in terms of speaking about the Constitution and our rights, I think, you know, over and over again, the courts in North Carolina have had to intervene and dismantle tactics of our state extremist caucus.
Because they're not frivolous lawsuits.
They're
courts are weighing in and striking down those actions.
Exactly. And you know, unfortunately, in the case of gerrymandering, they just keep coming back, and the court continues to overrule them. You mentioned the ruling that came down yesterday, just about 24 hours ago, and it did say that the maps have to be redrawn within 30 days. So September 1st, and that's a great victory, I think, for our democracy and a huge step towards restoring justice in the electoral process. You know, other countries look at our system and say, oh, the people who are getting elected are able to draw and pick the people who are electing them. It's, you know, at a large scale, it depends on fairness, it depends on distribution. And when people look at this issue, I think sometimes it's not immediately obvious as to why this is a problem. But this is nothing new. I think we need to say that. This has been going on since voting came into being.
Gerrymandering, named after James Madison's vice president.
Exactly,
so it goes back to 1800.
It's been going on a long time. What makes this different now is that we have computers.
Yep.
And so computers can go in and surgically design these districts, splitting apartment complexes, splitting neighbors into one district or the other. And it makes it virtually impossible for there to be open, free, and fair elections. So great victory. I wish that there had been a call for a special election before November, because it in a way you think, why wouldn't they go forward with this when you look at, so, okay, we've said now all the way up to the Supreme Court, this is wrong. You folks therefore got elected in an illegitimate way. Oh, but you get to serve the rest of your term.
For the next year and a half,
yeah.
And the court fight is going to go on, because you talk about, I mean, we just talked about, we all have to care about the Constitution. The current district map just got struck down by a 9-0 unanimous ruling by the Supreme Court. And another thing that hasn't really been significantly or sufficiently publicized in this is Republicans are already going through and beginning the process of redrawing the district lines. They went back and hired the same guy who drew the first lines that got struck down. They hired that guy again to draw the new lines.
Exactly.
So these new lines are going to get challenged in court, too.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
So there's a, yeah.
Yeah. It will go on. And the unfortunate thing in this year and a half is that they will continue to pass laws that impact people and implement policies that impact people from their perspective, not necessarily those laws that support, for instance, you think about the Medicare expansion, which they chose not to do. The folks who did that were illegitimately elected, and they will continue to serve, and they will continue to enact policies that hurt the citizens of North Carolina. And I think we have to think of it as, the citizens in a broad sense, many different constituencies will be impacted by the decisions that these folks make.
Yeah, and the one saving grace here, and this is something that I keep trying to emphasize every time we talk about the General Assembly, is that it is still the case that the vast majority of bills that get passed pretty unanimously with bipartisan support, mm-hmm. but not all of them. There's those ones that don't, the controversial ones, the ones right. that really impact a lot of people that get talked about and publicized in the news, and those are policies that would not get passed or would certainly get passed in very, very different form
right.
had we had constitutional district lines.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Hey, before I go, I'd be
yes.
remiss if I didn't mention that our monthly NAACP meetings are held the first Saturday of the month. So this coming Saturday at 1 p.m. at Rogers Road Community Center. Any folks out there that are interested in coming, joining with us, or just coming to sit in and see what this NAACP is all about, you're more than welcome to come and join us at Rogers Road Community Center this Saturday at 1 p.m.
Awesome. And again, you can always find the Chapel Hill Carver NAACP online. Just look up Chapel Hill NAACP on Google. It'll come right up. Or you can go straight to the website, chapelhillcarborough.naacp.wordpress.com. If you can't memorize that like I have, just Google it. It'll come right up, too. Honor Richards, thank you so much.
Thank you.